We do this and we do edit this as well. So okay. If there's something you say you don't want said, or that doesn't make sense.
But look, my show is 100% organic. It's never edited, never scripted. All my guests know they're entering a no BS organic zone. So I don't care. You guys edit whichever way you like, but I don't mind it either way.
Well, you're going to learn. We edit some only because I have a law license to protect. And there are times.
Michelle Unfiltered is not is great for audience, bad for career. Let's just put it that way.
I'm sorry, Kat. We're usually better than this. No, we're not. That's gonna be a lie.
This is actually good. What are you talking about? This is great.
The information shared in this podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. It should not be considered as professional legal advice or a substitute for seeking professional legal advice. I'm Michelle Locke. And now today, Jake and I wanted to get real. Real with all the things that have been going on kind of behind the scenes since the launch of Love Less Law. In addition to probably an update on what's been going on in my life and how that's affected me as I've made a transition from a full-time lawyer, full-time mom, and a full-time former judge to now adding in a full-time podcaster. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. What do you want to know?
Whatever it is you'd like to share.
Okay, yeah, why did you decide to even join us today? Let's start there. Why when you got that email from our producer, why did you say, you know what, I think I'm going to select this one to spend a Friday afternoon with?
Yeah, so it's a funny story, right? Because I've been doing Cat on the Loose. This is the sixth year. It's been 5 years and a few months.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I was always like, the past few years, especially the past 2 years that the show grew and exploded, I was always like, I don't have time to do other podcasts. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. You know, because we prioritize our own work, right? And then I was having a meeting with my team last year, because I think I only gave 3 interviews last year, 3 or 4. My manager's here behind me. And my team and my publicists, they were like, you know, you got to be on other podcasts. You know, you got to also help and share. So it was like a conscious decision that I definitely wanted to, you know, participate a little more and help in any way I can. I'm all about unity. I don't believe in competition. I think the more podcasts, the better. I think it's kind of like music, right? You never run out of great songs. I think you never run out of great conversations in podcasting. So I agreed with my team that we were going to jump in more podcasts and participate and try to promote in any way we can and help each other out. So when you guys send out the message, yeah, we were like, okay, let's go for it. Let's meet them. Let's have fun with this. So I think that's how we ended up here.
Are you happy or are you regretting it? Tell us honestly.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Listen, I am a sucker for a fun time. I'm a sucker for a good conversation. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of podcasts. You know, let's do this. Let's rock and roll.
You know, I think one of the things we can always talk about for me is, and Kat, I think, because you do relationships.
You know, my show, I don't know if you guys read anything about my show in the background.
Of course we did.
I was in a very abusive marriage for 15 years. 15 years. And that's how the show started, because when I finally left and my husband died, because he became an alcoholic, I had to start my life over from zero. And I mean, you are an attorney. If you heard my story, you would be like, holy shit, because I literally lost everything. Mm-hmm. The courts didn't enforce the will. I lost all my assets, my bank accounts, like a crazy, crazy story. And that's how I started the show, because I just wanted to vent. I didn't think it was going to be a business. I didn't think I was going to have an audience, but I was so like lost and, you know, desperate. I was like, I'm going to talk because this is so hard. How do you start over, right? How do you make money? How do you work? How do you, you know, just rebuild your life from shambles? And as I started talking about it and building up my show, that's how Cat on the Loose grew, because I started getting messages from people worldwide telling me that were going through something similar. So yeah, unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there going through really tough relationships right now. And unfortunately, many times, of course, it's the women that leave in shambles because they depend on on the husbands, you know?
You know, when my parents got divorced, I was in second grade in Miss Henry's class at Vista Hills Elementary School in El Paso, Texas. It was a Friday afternoon when the divorce was granted. My mom pulled me aside, grabbed my chin and looked me at the face and pulled my chin up to look at her. And she's like, "Michelle, you get an education and you never depend on a man for anything." And that was because my mom learned the hard way. And so the one thing that I was 7 years old when she told me that. It's never left me. And it's for that reason that women oftentimes are the ones that get in these relationships with the financial control and abuse. They end up stuck. And then they can't leave because they don't have the financial resources to leave. And then when they do leave, the credit card gets cut off. The debit card gets cut off. They have no access to cash or anything else because either not on the bank accounts or somehow the money's been transferred out of the bank accounts. And they do. They get stuck. And a lot of them have to get to the point where you'd rather live under a bridge, homeless, or be in a 600-square-foot apartment than be in the home that you were at. And the one thing that's amazing about, like, your story is you're a phoenix. You rose from the ashes. And there is nothing more empowering or inspiring to others that gives them hope that you can get there, you can rebuild, you can rise from those ashes. Now, does it take some grit to do it? Absolutely. Does it take some, for lack of a better word, some balls to do it? Absolutely. But we all have it within us to do so. Knowing what I know about Kat, knowing what I know about my situation, and knowing what I know about lots of other high-achieving women, why do you think, Kat, that women like us stay too long in these types of relationships?
A number of reasons, right? I think a big one, at least in my case, and I think a lot of women that listen to my show agree, is because we believe that person is going to change for us. It takes a really long time for us to realize, like, they're not going to change for us. In my case, my husband, I got married really young. So that's another factor. I think when we are really young, we're not that mature, right? We put up with a lot more shit. Can I say shit?
You can say shit.
Then we do, like, nowadays, I would never put out, like, I meet a guy, if he's a heavy drinker, if he does this or if he does that, I'm like, okay, out the door. But when I was in my 20s and I met my husband, I didn't understand. I had no idea what abuse was. I had no idea what heavy drinking was. Then he became, the more money he made, he became a full-blown alcoholic. So as the years go by, in my mind, I'm like, he loves me. He's going to change for me. He loves me. He's going to change for me. So it's a cycle, right? And I think a lot of women are like that because we love and we want our partner to change for us. But of course, the truth is, the end of the story is that nobody's going to change for you or because they love you. They're only going to change if they want to change. Therefore, if you are in an abusive relationship, like it was my case, if you are in a relationship with an alcoholic, blah, 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 what I say, save yourself. And I hope nobody takes 15 years to get out of it like I did. I always hope people wake up way sooner than I did, for sure.
Yeah, the what was it for you that was the aha moment where it was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back?
Yeah, so my biological father died, and I remember because we had multiple residents all over the United States because my husband was very rich. We were at our house in Las Vegas. We were at our mansion in Las Vegas. And it was 7 a.m. in the morning. And my mom called me and told me, you know, your father died. Blah, blah. I didn't have a close relationship with him. However, he was my father. And I remember that day, my husband was sitting by the pool, 7 a.m. And he was already drinking and he was already very drunk. And I went to tell him the news. And of course, I was very sad, right? Somebody just died. And he totally dismissed. He was like, oh, you know, who cares? He wasn't a nice person anyways, whatever. Who cares? And I went to my bedroom and it kind of, it just literally sank in my head. I'm like, wow, you know, I am with this person that he's so drunk and he's so crazy. He's not going to be here for me. He's not going to give me a hug or anything. So that day I was like, I got to get out, you know, and I gave him the ultimatum. Finally, I was like, either you quit drinking or I'm going to divorce you. And he was like, I'm not going to quit drinking. I'm not going to quit drinking. So, yeah. And it's such a crazy story that at that point he was such a full blown alcoholic that, you know, that's a whole other episode. Right. But he needed medical help in order to stop drinking. And he decided he was going to die drinking. He didn't want to get help. So we did sign the divorce. A while after my father passed away, months after he passed away. But right after that, I found out that my husband got very, very sick, very, very sick. And I actually ended up going back to take care of him for 2 more years until he died.
Oh, wow.
Because he didn't let anybody go anywhere near him, the doctors, the nurses, no one. So I actually ended up going back to this cycle. Yeah, for 2 more years, yeah.
You were completely sort of dependent upon him at the time, right? He basically made it so that you were financially dependent upon him, right? He used his money as clout and as control.
Yeah, so my story is kind of funny, right? Because I always loved working. I started working when I was 4 years old in TV commercials because my dad was a TV producer. So when I met my husband, I worked. I did really well for myself. And I always tell women that because, you know, all these girls are like, how do I marry a millionaire? How do I marry? And I'm like, the way you marry a millionaire is like have shit going on in your own life, right? You're much more likely to attract. That's what my husband loved about me because I was so busy. But yes, as we started dating and got married, he was very controlling and very jealous. So he cut me off. Like it was a huge fight between us every time I wanted to go to work. So yeah, I was like 90% dependent on his money. And I did help him build his business, la, 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 la. But I did inherit everything that we built together in 15 years. But everything got taken away from me.
You know, what's interesting is those types of individuals seek out successful partners because I think they get more satisfaction out of breaking those successful partners. I think you're right. Yeah, you want to find someone that's a successful man to marry, date, whatever. Make yourself successful too because, boy, that'll attract them. It may not attract the right ones, but it'll attract some of them because they do. They get some kind of high or fix off of extinguishing your flame, and that's what they do. They spend years.
That's exactly
blowing out
what
your
happened
flame.
To me. Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's you really do. You lose who you are. You hear enough of you're wrong, you're mistaken, you're crazy, you just don't understand. You know, how many different ways can someone tell you that you're an idiot is basically what happens throughout the course of the relationship.
Yeah.
And boy, can they get creative on how they say that.
You become a champion for so many of your guests. And I've noticed this too in the shows. And you also feature so many different people and personalities. Like, what is your process for attracting personalities? Why do they decide, okay, Cat on the Loose is the platform that I want to share my story on? Because you get things out of people that other shows don't. And we've noticed that throughout the process. Like, you really get people to like be vulnerable as well. How do you do that?
I think that they know, and I mean, you've been podcasting for a long time, but I think when we book a guest, right, we tell them up front. I mean, they know how the show is, right? They know it's organic. They know it's no bullshit. They know it's not scripted. So once you're entering this non-scripted zone, you know where you're getting yourself into. It's literally an open conversation. So whatever we say is going to be what our audience hears. So I think just getting in there, they kind of like know the vibe of the show. And once they start talking, they're just like, you know, I might as well just go for it. I have had guests in the past that told me, oh my God, can you take that out? Can you cut that out? Did I really? And I'm like, nope. Sorry, it's not going to happen. You know, if you say something stupid or if you say something you regret later, I mean, I warn you beforehand, but I want to be very, very real with my audience. I literally want the audience to feel that they're sitting in the living room with us, you know, that we are not bullshitting them.
I just realized something. Michelle Locke can never do your show. Never, ever. Michelle needs 10 filters and then two more just for safety. Yes. I got to be honest with you. So that's why editing is our friend here. But to be fair, Michelle, when it comes to court, is so polished, so professional, so just inspiring. And then now we're here on the podcast and the vibe's a little different. She looks good. She looks polished. She looks great.
I mean, look, she's an attorney, right? If you go to court in front of a judge, you got to behave, right? A certain way, of course. But I think in a podcast, you should just be able to be yourself, I guess.
Well, and I do. And the problem is I'm a little extra. Like, the version of me in a courtroom is the subdued version of me.
Yeah.
Which may frighten some of my opposing counsels.
Nothing is offensive. I got to be honest with you. Nothing is offensive. But let's just talk about the degrees of vulgarity. And I don't know, Kat, how you would rate these things. But you ask if you could curse and say fuck and whatever. And that's literally, if you had listened to the raw outtakes from our show, there's a lot of cursing when it doesn't even belong there, when it's not even appropriate or welcomed. It's just there. So there's nothing.
It's always welcome. The F word is always welcome, and
yes,
the F word can be used as a verb, a noun. I mean, it can be used as lots of different things, and it's just the tone and tenor in which you use the F word.
You perfected the silent F word too. Show Kat how you treat me generally. So this tends to get cut out, Kat, of the show. But I think we should probably keep it in. I think you're right. I think we should just go live with this one and just let Michelle's wings fly.
I will say this, Kat. I am a lot like you. When I started this podcast, it really was therapeutic for me to get out a lot of what I had been through without. And I guess one of the problems is you don't necessarily realize how bad it was until you're on the other side. And then when you get on the other side, you're like, huh. And then you remember stuff that you'd forgotten, and forgotten for pretty good reason. And then you go, huh, that probably wasn't good either. But the podcasting, I mean, I know why you did your show, Count Liz. I mean, it's therapy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't cost you anything. And we're not the only ones going through it. That's the other part of it, is there's – so, I mean, it's not unique to just your story. It's not unique just to my story. It's not, there are both genders that go through it and have to get out and have to rebuild and start over. And I've told this to Jake, and I've said this on the podcast before. If my story can help just one person, then I've done my job.
I agree.
I have a question for both of you. It's obvious why Michelle does podcasting, is she needs constant attention. But Kat, for you, when you started this, thanks, Michelle. When you started this, happy Friday the 13th, by the way. When you started this, like, what really led you to the point where you're like, I'm going to be vulnerable here? Because that's not easy. You literally laid everything on the line. You decided to throw out all your dirty laundry and say, here I am, take me or leave me. And got to a point where, you know, you just didn't give a fuck, basically. You're just like, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to share my story. One person can listen, a million people can listen. It doesn't matter. But what really gave you that sort of gusto to do that?
I feel in my heart that the more open I am, right, and the more raw and the more honest, the more my audience connects and believes in me and the story. And I think it empowers them more. And it's also a way, and I say that over and over and over to my audience nowadays, right? Because now I'm lucky to have a really big audience worldwide. It's a way for women to take their power back. And I'm sure Michelle must know that, because when you are going through an abusive relationship, you know, you lose your voice, you forget who you are, you feel super intimidated. I was called names like, I don't even know if I can repeat here, you know, for 15 years, I was super abused verbally. And so you start believing that that's what you are. You start believing that you are useless. You start believing all those things. So it, in a way, when you do a show and you say all those things out loud, not only are happening, helping other women, but, you know, it really empowered me to get to where I am today. It took my power back, you know, because everything that people did to me, even when my husband died and all my assets were taken from me, my bank accounts, everything was taken from me. The judge didn't listen to me. Nobody believed in my story. It took me 2 years, you know, to prove everything that had happened. Very long story, but it was just a way for me to do justice for myself. You know, I think when we speak up, we help other women. And basically, I'm saying, you know, you can speak up as well. You know, this is a space for everyone to just be very open and honest about whatever it is that they're going through. But I don't give a fuck. I always joke, like, nobody pays my bills. I started over from zero.
I love you.
If somebody doesn't like what they hear, like, you know, I always say there are like 4 million of podcasts out there. I go listen to something else. But if I get a message from a woman telling me, thank you, I got out of an abusive marriage because of you, or I did this, or that, I'm like, you know, I'm doing my job and it's not acting. This is why I don't script. I don't edit. I just tell it like it is. And if it resonates with you, if it helps you, amazing. That's all I want.
Well, but you know, when you get to a certain age, at least for what I've seen with my other fellow professional women, you get to like 45 and you have a I don't give a F switch that kind of flips. And it is the most empowering, like once you're no longer worried about procreating, right? And you don't have to worry about that nonsense because it's behind you and you get to look forward to just there's just a shift, and man, it just feels fabulous. And I wish I could impart that on some of the younger women. Like, you guys just need to worry a whole lot less about stuff.
Yes, I agree.
Most of it will work its way out, work itself out. There's about a solution to everything. About, you just got to figure it out. But there, I look back at how much time I wasted on just worrying about nonsense that just doesn't matter in the whole scheme of things, and then learning that you can't control much. So just worry about what you actually can control, which is not a whole hell of a lot, and then just figure it out from there. I've been now an attorney for almost a quarter of a century, which I can't believe, because I always remember being one of the young ones, right? And now the young ones come to me for advice on how to handle something. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, this is, it just feels weird. It really does. And then I look in the mirror and then I see my, you know, aging neck and how things are changing and going way the way gravity is pulling it. And I guess I have earned the stripes. But because I do divorce law in particular, it gives me a pretty unique perspective on relationships. And while I'm never going to say I'm a relationship expert, I sure know how to have them not work. Because I see how they don't work. And then I also see, in connection with that, the abusive relationships, the red flags for the abusive relationships, or the people that come in that are shells of their former selves because they've been in a toxic marriage for so long and they don't even realize that it's what it's doing to them. People talk about the glow up post either breakup or divorce. You can always see who the toxic one is by the one that has the immediate glow up. And y'all, the glow up's a thing. It really is. If you look at some of the, and it's men and women. I don't want to say that it's just women that are the ones that are abused, because abuse is on both sides of the spectrum. But the glow up that you truly see in the people that escape and find the peace, it is stunning, the difference. I had a friend of mine who was in a long-term toxic marriage, and she sent me a picture of herself from the day that her husband walked out and left. And this happened 2 days ago. She sent me this picture. I didn't even recognize her. Like, the person that she was that many several years ago when he walked out. I mean, kind of like my situation. I don't know that I would have been alive if I had stayed where I was at. She wouldn't have been either, just looking at what she looked like back then. So,
do you have stories that you featured and guests you featured that are like shocking to you? like things like wow, like jaw dropping moments? Is there anything that you want to share that have happened that it's been like, wow, either I didn't get into podcasting for this or this is exactly why I'm here? Works both ways.
Well, I've done like now about 300 episodes. So you can imagine like I've heard it all, right? Everybody has a story. I've heard all kinds of crazy shit. But believe it or not, I don't think I ever heard a story as crazy as my own stories from the beginning of the show. And everybody tells me that.
Kat, you've been very transparent with everything through your podcast. So anybody who you could potentially bring into your life as a remote or potential romantic partner probably could or may do the research, Google you and find out, and they can listen to this show. So they can find, right, a blueprint of all the things you've gone through so they know what to expect and what not to expect and what you're going to put up with and what you're not going to put up with. How has this really altered your dating life?
It makes it super tough, for sure, because so the guy meets me. There are a lot of components, right, that go into it. First of all, yes, a lot of them go and they listen to the entire show. They get intimidated. So that's always like the and I don't want to date anybody who's intimidated anyway. So I want to date like a guy who's like, oh, my God, I'm so proud of you. This is amazing. And then, yeah, there are the guys that listen to the show and think they know everything about me. And they think they can handle it. Every guy I ever dated in the beginning, they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And but when they really get into my life, especially the past couple of years that the show really grew, and they see, you know, I have a big public presence, right, on social. We have to do social media, right? It's a big part of our job. And we go to events and a lot of them are like, oh, it's too much for me. And then there is the guy that says, you know, totally misread me. They're like, oh, she talks about sex, dating, relationships. She goes out with all kinds of guys every night. She bangs every guy she sees. And it couldn't be farther from the truth. And then there is always the guy that says, oh, are you going to talk about me in your podcast? And one guy told me, oh, you're the Taylor Swift of the podcast. So I don't want to date you because you do an episode, each episode about the guys. And this is my answer, by the way. I say, if you're a person with good intentions in any podcast, you don't care that we have a podcast because we're going to say something really good about you, right? Even if we break up, if you had good intentions, I'm going to say something nice about you. Now, the only people that should be worried about being talked about are
the assholes.
The bad guy. The assholes, right? So, you know, it's a good divide.
It's real simple. Don't be an asshole.
Exactly. So if you are, yeah, very likely you are going to end up being a really good episode on the show. We are going to dissect you.
This is the one thing I do want to say is that this is the thing and the challenges, and I've been in this long enough. We've both been in this for 6 years, approximately.
Yeah.
So knowing and understanding that when you do this, when people find out, they're curious, they're excited if they don't already know, but they're also a little bit concerned. Now, the fact is that I do a stalking podcast. That would not be good for someone to be on that and someone that I would be involved with, obviously, from a standpoint of that.
Yeah.
But at the same point, Michelle has brought up this before where she wanted to share one of the episodes and she had said this, can you share one, I'm paraphrasing, that doesn't make me sound crazy? And then I said, well, define crazy, Michelle, because every episode has its tracks and then it has its running off the tracks.
The B-roll.
So I don't know what you define as crazy. You are not crazy in my book, but you are transparent and you get into the weeds when it comes to emotion. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that most people should embrace that. But I also know this, here's the flip, is that a lot of people use that as a way to figure out where your vulnerabilities are. And that's a problem. I do another podcast called Love, Lust, Fear. And a lot of times when people know more about what your sensitivities are, what buttons can they push, they will use that against you. Narcissist playbook.
But look, this is my take on it, right? You don't want to have a narcissist in your life. You don't want to have like somebody that's going to play you. You don't want to have somebody who is bothered by it. So in a way, I think it's a great filter. It's kind of like being an actor, right? Very few people can date an actor. Very few people can put up with that lifestyle. So I think it's great because we really, at the end of the day, and that was the lesson I learned after doing the show for so long, you just want people around you that are super comfortable with whatever it is that you do, right? And you find out about who are the players and who are the people that are uncomfortable very quickly. It's like with Michelle. She's a woman with a very strong personality and very powerful career, very powerful career. So there's a very particular type of man that will date a woman like that, that is not intimidated by a kick-ass attorney, that likes an outspoken woman. Great. That way
it's
you don't waste your time.
It's just a very small pool.
Same for me. It's a very small pool of men that puts up with a woman doing a show about sex, dating, relationships, and women empowerment. So yeah, great. I think it's better to have a small pool. I think quality always beats quantity in anything in life.
You need somebody who's going to cherish you, support you, but doesn't have to be the person that you rely on so much that flips that control, right? You know what I'm saying? And in terms of, I'm sure you both as powerful women have a tendency to want to control things in your life, not in a bad way, but you've had to. Oh, Michelle, get out of here. Michelle, yes, you're the control queen.
I don't know Michelle, but I tell you one thing. In my professional life, I'm in control all the time. Yeah, but in my personal life, I'm the exact opposite. I want a man because I want to be vulnerable. I want a guy to come and make plans and make decisions and take over. Yeah, because I don't want to be like, you know, in my business. No, I want the exact opposite in a man. I do not want to control a man. Believe me, the opposite.
isn't that hard for you both? Isn't that hard for you both? But let's be fair. I mean, I know. I'm just going to ask you both because, and I'll tell you why. Is that you know the success you have and you know how strong you are in the workplace, right? You know what kind of power you have. You know what you can do, what you're not to, and what not to waste time with. But how often do those lines get blurred? I know you say you don't want to, but how often does that happen where you're like, let me just plan this trip. Let me just go and shop for this person.
Okay. I literally tell you, I don't know, Michelle. My personal life, I am a completely different person. I turn off the switch and I want a man that's like, this is what we're going to have dinner. This is what we're doing. And I want a super type A guy, like very, very strong personality, you know, very old school.
A little bit of a knuckle dragger.
I know. I would never make a plan for a dude. I'm not going to make a reservation. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to teach you. You better know what you're doing. You better be on top of your game because I want to be like 1,000,000% like in my feminine, relaxed side, you know, in my personal life.
Amen, sister. Listen, I can't tell you how many like female attorneys I know that's the same way. It's like we all day long boss things around, all day long are in control. I want to come home and be the girl. Like I don't want to be in my testosterone man adjacent like roll all day long and all night long. I want to come home and someone say, hey, sweetheart, can I rub your feet? I'd be like, yes, baby, please.
Exactly.
Do you both, I'm so fascinated by this, by the way, about the dynamic and the sort of power between personal and professional. It fascinates me. So humor me for a second. So basically you both, do you like when a man knows that you are a powerful woman in the workplace and that's how you're first introduced to a man? Or do you like to just meet a man who doesn't really know much about you but is attracted to you and, you know, whatever traditional sort of chemistry there is going on there? Do you have a preference? Or, and also, what works better for you both?
I think it's difficult to hide, right? At least in my case, because my work is so public. Like on my dating profile, I don't say that I do the podcast, by the way, because I own a PR marketing and branding agency. So I usually, that's what I put there. Like, oh, I do PR marketing and branding this. But of course, once we talk on the phone, like we go on a first date or they see my name, they see it. And then I decided I'm not going to hide it because I don't want to waste my time and I don't want to waste somebody's time. So with me, it's like you either jump in the fire and you like me with all my projects and everything that I do, or you don't. And of course, especially after everything that I've been through, you know, I want a man that is 1,000,000% comfortable with everything that I do. So if you like the show and you can handle it, fantastic. If you can't, I'm not for you, you know? So I don't try to hide it anymore.
I completely agree, Kat. I mean, it's, I'm who I am, and you're going to love me or hate me. There's about zero in between, yeah. And I'm okay with that. So why am I going to waste my time not telling someone who I really am? Because in my, like you in your professional world, I'm kind of the HBIC. I am. I'm the boss bitch. I mean, that's the role I am when I'm going to the courtroom. And that's the role my clients expect too. It's not just, I mean, but it's who I am. But a man's got to be really okay in their masculinity to deal with a woman like Kat or I. They've got to be really confident in who they are, because I say that because they're going to have to take a backseat at times, and they're going to have to be okay with being in the shadows at times, because with what Kat does and with what I do, at some point we are front and center. And I like being front and center. I'm pretty sure Kat likes being front and center at times too.
Yes.
And whoever we're with is going to have to be okay with, you know, sitting backstage watching.
Michelle claims to be like, oh, I'm just going to observe from the back row. But I think, Kat, you're pretty well aware, and anybody watching now for this new video episode understands that Michelle does need limelight. But she also needs that comfy, cozy blanket and the Lifetime movies and the popcorn and just to please somebody go get me another Mexican Coke. That's her favorite drink.
That's my favorite.
Let me tell you guys something, okay? I really believe, I'm a firm believer that a woman can and should be both. Like, yes. I discovered this from doing my show and from living an abusive marriage. We can be kick-ass business women. We can talk about sex, dating, relationship, anything we want. And we can be fragile, feminine, romantic with our partner. We don't have to choose. You know, there is room. And a man who is going to be, and by the way, the most, and I always say that because, you know, especially here in Beverly Hills, right, there's all these girls saying like, oh, I want a guy to be a provider. I want a guy to take care of me. And they do nothing all day. But the fact of the matter is the most successful men in the world, they love a woman that has a lot going on. They're not intimidated. I always use Jeff Bezos as an example, right? Look who he married. He married like this kick-ass woman, 56, age-appropriate. She has a lot of shit going on. So I have multimillionaire friends here in Beverly Hills, and every single one of them is looking for a partner that kicks ass. They don't want the little boring girls that go to the gym all day and do nothing.
Because what conversation do you have with them when you get home?
Exactly. Well, maybe you have a conversation the first day to the second day, but then you're like, oh, how am I going to take this girl to a business dinner? How am I going to take this girl to a... Exactly. So there are a lot of men out there that want a woman that, you know, has a business, has something going on, but we can have two different personalities. You know, it's totally fine.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Did we just sort of launch a dating show here? I don't know. It feels like we're like trying to figure out and not only dispatch advice, but also just sort of mapping out. I think almost you tried to like set somebody up there, Kat, in the mix a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like you're talking about millionaires, you're talking about this, but you know, I guess we should next do some like profiles and things like that. Like start to throw this out. Do like a video version, next. Like no testimony for people who are online. Right. So Kat, you said you have a dating profile. What are some of the struggles that you have had out there in the dating world? I know you've talked about this in your podcast, but, and Michelle is very open with her life. Anybody who's listened to that knows this.
And I don't have any dating profiles. I'm afraid to do dating profiles.
I obviously my struggles were because I was in such an abusive marriage. Once I started dating, and I didn't know that at the time, right? I kept following the same pattern.
Yep.
So I ended up dating narcissists, liars, cheaters. It was always some type of horrible man that would yell at me, scream at me, the same shit that my husband used to do to me. That was usually the kind of man that I dated, because at the time, like, even if you listen to the first episodes of Cat on the Loose, you die of a heart attack. You cringe. You're like, I cannot believe the guy that cheated on me on Valentine's Day, the guy that cheated on me on my birthday, the craziest narcissist shit in the world. But now I laugh about it, because now I would never date those men, you know what I mean? But when you are a victim of abuse, it takes a really long time to rewire your brain. It's not overnight. It takes a while for you to understand, wait a minute, it's not okay to be called a useless piece of shit. It's not okay to be, you know, demeaned by a man. But it took me a really long time to get to this great place that I am today, that I know what I want in a partner, what I don't accept in a partner. So nowadays, if a guy yelled or screamed at me or called me a name, I literally laugh at his face and I leave the room, you know? I would never accept this kind of, but it's a process, you know? And that's what I always say in my show. Once you gotta learn self-love and self-worth, and that goes for men and women, right? We gotta know our value. And once you learn that, then everything becomes a lot easier.
You never really, Michelle never really dated properly though. You understand this is somebody who came right out of law school and got right into a serious long-term two-decade relationship.
I met my husband when I was 23. He was 45.
He was same, very similar to me.
That's what I'm saying. I'm hearing your story going, oh, girl, we could be really good friends. But met him, I was 23. We got married when I was 25. He was 47. We had our first kid within a year of getting married. Had our second kid a couple years later. And then we had our third one a decade later. But I dated him and started dating him in law school. And that was after I'd broken up with another long-term relationship. And then I got married. And so I've literally been with him since I was 23, and then got divorced after being with him for 24 years. So
how long have you been divorced?
I moved out of my house because I had no choice. He wouldn't leave, so I had to, in March of 2024.
Oh, okay. It hasn't been a long time. It's two years now.
2 years. Okay. 2 years since I moved out. The divorce was granted in August of 2024. So I've been divorced for a year and a half, I guess.
Yeah, but you know, this is what I would say to you and everybody out there listening. The first step, because nobody knows how to date. The first step is you need to open your heart to letting love find you, you know, that's the first step. No, you just gotta say, you know what? I'm gonna give life a chance and love a chance, because you never know. You could literally meet someone at the grocery store. You could meet someone at an event, you know, but you need to be open to letting love find you. I always say that's the first step, because if you're open to it, it might surprise you, you know?
Bah humbug.
Michelle is like kind of like that ice cream, like magic shell, you know, hard on the outside, soft and gooey on the inside.
Yeah. But don't tell anyone that.
The thing is, Michelle's favorite color is red. Her
Me
favorite
too.
Color is
Same.
Red.
Same. It's funny that I'm wearing black today, because look at my nails. I'm always wearing red. Always. Every day. It's my favorite color. Same. I think it's a color of passion, right?
It's a color of power.
So happy. Yes.
It's a color of femininity.
Yes.
It's the color of being a woman. Ugh, yeah. I love red.
Same. I love it. Girl, put yourself your hot red outfit on and go shopping. You live in Dallas, right?
Austin.
Austin. Mm-hmm. I know they have fabulous shopping there.
Yes. I live in a great place and I will definitely treat myself.
I heard the men in Texas are really hot and great. No, I have one of my best friends married a guy from Texas.
So here's what I'm going to tell you. Texas has some good looking men. I'm not going to lie. But they do. But most of them can't handle a woman like me.
Really? Oh, wow. Interesting.
There's probably a traditional masculine sort of roles or tropes, I guess you'd say, right, Michelle? Like, there's a fantasy of what a Texas man is, and then there's the reality of what a Texas man is. And that's a generalization. right? I mean, in terms of that, like Austin men are different from Dallas men. Dallas men are correct. Different from El Paso men.
And Houston men are different than everyone. I mean, it's and kind of like California. I like every like San Francisco men are a lot different than Beverly Hills men, right? So Texas is probably very similar that the parts of the state are different. But I just like I haven't gotten out there. Like I just don't necessarily know that I want to. I was never good at dating to begin with. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Something will just fall into my lap.
That gets me to a very important point. You can't truly love someone until you love yourself. I really believe that. I think that it takes time. And it took me many years to figure out how to love myself. Decades, in fact. But I think when you get to that point, and this is Michelle, there's a lot of hemming and hawing. And I don't think it's outward sort of love and squirming at love. I think it's you accepting yourself. You're getting there, but it's taken a long time. And I'm very proud to be on this journey with you for self-acceptance.
Aww, I love you too, Jake, in a very appropriate, non-like romantic relationship way.
This is not Cat on the Loose. We're going to edit that out. Don't worry.
Hey, listen, that's totally up to you guys, right? What you edit out.
Well, no, listen, we had dinner in LA at a Thai restaurant, and another podcaster joined us who I like very much. And she, Jake, you can edit this part out. But she turned to Jake and I, because Jake and I were doing what we normally do, which is just banter. And she's like, are you two fucking? I'm like, no.
That was her first intro. It wasn't, hi, I'm this person. Who are you or whatever? She's like, are you two fucking?
That's funny.
No, I mean, like, I was like, no, we're not.
I don't know if I would ask anything that personal. Like, what I would be like, whatever, I don't care.
I know she did. But both Jake and I were like,
that's
no.
It
was a great, because, Kat, I didn't mention this. It wasn't just Michelle, I, and this other podcaster. There was about seven other people at this table.
Wow. Oh, my God.
A table full of people.
And it was not the kind of restaurant that it's like so big that it was like all heads were like, interesting. She brings up a good point there.
It's the year of the fire horse. And I'm a snake. And so if you know anything about the Chinese zodiac and that, like the year of the snake with the fire horse, I'm supposed to be on fire this year. So I thought, why not start Friday the 13th with the red dress?
I love that. I'm a snail. So I don't know if we can get along.
So, Kat, let's give you some background on the snail. Jake and I are very much yin and yang. I do not put my toe into anything. I usually just dive in head first and say, F it, I'll figure it out after I'm in the water. Jake dips his toe in, barely, pulls it back out, then contemplates for at least 48 hours what he's going to try and put the toe back in again. And so I have compared Jake to a snail on his last slime and how he makes decisions. One of my favorite.
Kat is stunned to silence, by the way, and because she has so much dating, relationship, and professional advice to dispatch, that I would love to hear your perspective on the yin and yang of this as business partnership, as friendship, and kind of understanding sort of the ebb and flow of why this magic concoction works so well. And you're seeing it. You're witnessing it. You're a guest into our party. Welcome.
I think that, you know, if you guys feed off of each other and you have different personalities and different strengths, it might be a great mix, you know? Sometimes it works really well if two hosts are very, very different from each other.
So. And different.
Did you also
we are.
Hear her say might, Jake?
Which means there was a hesitation.
It might also be a colossal disaster.
Listen. I just met you, right? Like it's been a minute. So I don't know how well you guys work together. Seems like it's great chemistry. Seems like you guys are excited about doing this show, right? Jake has been doing a different podcast for a really long time. You know how difficult podcasting is. I think, you know, most people get tangled up and discouraged because they think, oh, you know, I love to talk and this is going to be fun. It's going to be easy. It's a sprint. And I think it's more like a marathon. But obviously, you know, you guys are really good at what you do. Michelle is a super successful attorney. So, I mean, you guys have everything that it takes to building up a very successful show, for sure.
Oh, Kat, we should have you on more often. That's great for the ego.
She's our hype woman now. She just got
volunteered. She is our hype woman. I kind of like that.
I'm literally just seeing her now, but obviously you're feisty and, you know, full of energy and fire. So I'm sure you are a fantastic attorney. I love that.
I do okay for myself.
Good for
the
you.
The courtroom is definitely my forte.
Amazing.
My cross-examination, it's funny because I have some bailiffs, you know, so the courthouse security that always come up to me afterwards. And they're like, man, they're like, we just wish we had popcorn and a beer to watch you on the cross. They're like, because you get this smirk on your face and we know what's coming next. Like, we're just waiting for it. So, yeah, apparently people find some entertainment value in my cross-examinations.
That's awesome. That's really
cool. Yeah.
Kat, let's just put it this way. If you're in court, you want Michelle defending you.
I don't want me asking you the questions.
Hopefully, I don't want to be in that position ever. I'm trying really hard to stay on the right side of the law so far. But I will definitely keep Michelle's name on my phone in case I get in trouble.
Just in case.
So basically, Kat, the day before Michelle retires from her law firm, she can be a guest then. Like the day before.
Yes. Deal. Yes. Listen, I've had very successful divorce attorneys on the show, and they were like they did pretty well. They were like no issues.
Now I'll come on the show because here's the other issues. I also know that if I know that there's no editing, I will have much more of a
a filter. Yeah.
I'll have a little bit more of a filter. Yeah. I'm still Southern. I'm still very Texan, but I will have a little bit more of a filter.
Someone wants to dip their toe in the water and not jump in first. I thought we had already covered that. So I'm already calling you out on the lies that you're dispatching
here. It's not a lie. It is a
adjustment? Is it a situational adjustment, Michelle?
Yes, that's a way to put it. It's a situational adjustment. Oh, I agree. But think about the differences between people. Like, think about, was it Eddie Bunker from, what was the show, Jake? I never remember the show names.
Archie Bunker from All
in
Family?
Did I say Eddie Bunker?
Eddie Bunker sounds like a guy who owns a bar or possibly a mechanic who is got fired, but then got worked back in somehow through his brother-in-law. Sorry, go ahead.
So Archie Bunker, wasn't he like in his 40s when he did the show? Is it all in the family? I don't even know. What show was it?
He was probably 10 years younger than both of us. he was probably maybe 49 or 50 maybe.
Okay. Look at what he looked like when he did that show versus what you and I look like now, because I'll be 49 next month. So I will say
you're younger than me. When next month, March?
Uh-huh.
March as well.
The soothsayer said, beware the Ides of March.
What day is your birthday?
March 15th.
Oh, I'm March 6th.
Well, there you go. I liked you for a reason.
You two need to celebrate your birthdays.
Yes.
That's what the polo lounge will be.
Come to the polo lounge, girl.
Oh, I think I'm going to have to because March 6th is when my son's spring break starts. So I think Manning will be going with me to Beverly Hills.
Yeah, that would be
trip plan.
Cool.
Yay. Who knew this would happen? Done and done. Kat, we're not used to being invited anywhere. So this is really great for us. In public, too? You want to meet with us in public?
Of course.
I'm awesome.
1,000,000%. I know. So am I.
Oh, I don't have any doubt. You are a party all in yourself.
Look at that logo. Look at that logo behind her, Cat on the Loose. Need I say more?
Listen, there. I see a kindred spirit. I think together that we may have some trouble.
Yes, let's cause some trouble in Beverly Hills.
The jail is very nice there, by the way.
Whatever trouble I get into is not going to be me getting arrested.
No, same. Yeah, remember, I'm trying to stay on the good side of the law. So far, so good. So far, so good.
Kat, if you're going to party with somebody, party with a lawyer.
Right? I know. Listen, I am the most boring partying person in the world because I don't even drink alcohol. I do maybe the one occasional glass of wine and that's it, you know. I just have great energy, but I'm not like a party anymore or anything. And you know Beverly Hills, right? Everything is done like at 10 p.m.
I'm in bed. No thanks. God bless, Kat. I really like you.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. I hope you come here to Beverly Hills so we can do a show in person.
We will, because I, Jake dragged me kicking and screaming. Not really. I will. I'm out in LA at least. Well, I think it's been once a quarter. Although I think last quarter was twice. I'll be back out there again soon, and I'll bring Cosmo with me because he has been out there before and thoroughly enjoys LA.
Yes.
And Kat, here's ironic, but you probably live very close to this. I sent her the link for the Beverly Hills Hotel. I said, you got to try it.
It's my favorite place on the planet. I'm literally going there today for lunch. It's like my second home away from home. Like, I could literally live there. You know, I go there all the time. It's so magical.
And well, I'm staying there next time.
Oh, please. Yeah, ask for a bungalow because it's so perfect with the dogs because you're in and out so quickly and the area is so walkable. Yes, treat yourself. You're going to love it. Call me so we can like have, it's the best happy hour in Beverly Hills, by the way, the Polo Lounge.
Okay, we'll have to check it out.
You meet tons of nice eligible men there. Business contacts. It's just a great power networking. I meet friends. I meet all kinds of people there. So, yeah, it's just a great place to be. Yeah.
Well, Jake, I'll be there next week.
Yes. Come on over, girl. Come on over next week. Please. Please. I would love to hang out with you guys in person. Let's do it.
I'm extra.
She's not underestimating that, Kat, but I think we all got to be a little extra in this era. I think it's our time to be extra.
Yes. And then we can plan something. Yes.
I mean, really, thank you.
It was really lovely meeting you guys. Thank you for having me. It was a huge honor.
It was. It's nice to find another kindred spirit on that life can be beautiful. You just have to look at it from the right perspective. That's even if you've gone through the shit, because all of us have a story. All of us have a history. All of us have been through shit. And that's why kindness costs you nothing, because the person you're talking to every given day, you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what their history is or what's going on in their particular lives. And why not just be kind? Because that one small act can change a person's day, week, month, even a year, and sometimes even their life.
Yes. So true. So true.
There's two things I want to accomplish before we wrap up. One is, Kat, where can we find your show? Name the platforms. Name how many episodes you have. Just anything you want to share about where we can find it.
So Kat on the Loose is on all podcasting platforms, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Sirius, obviously Apple Podcasts. We are on YouTube, Kat on the Loose Show. And people find all the links on the website, katontheloose.com. I'm on Instagram a lot. I am on all social media platforms. Wherever you guys want to find me, I'm there. So I'm very foundable. I'm very Googable. Like you said, even for my dates. Even my dates, I'm like, dude, I'm very Googable. There is no hiding. Everything is there. Dude, you can Google me and I'm right there.
And we will put the links in the show notes as well.
And it's been fun. And it's been a session that I'm so glad I had the opportunity and privilege to do. I hope you all have a fabulous day. You can find us on Instagram under Love Lust Law. You have one of knows what we're doing. Check us out. You can email us at hello@michellelock.com, or you can also send us messages on Instagram. I'm also at attorneymichellelock.com. Just remember, Michelle's with one L, and thank my mom, Margo, with no T for that. Y'all have a great one.